Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As President Biden's Supreme Court justice pick will start confirmation hearings this morning, Justice Thomas is spending a few days in a D.C. hospital for flu-like symptoms not related to COVID-19. China's Civil Aviation Administration is reporting a Chinese-owned Boeing 737 jetliner carrying roughly 130 people crashed in the mountains in southern China's Guangxi region on Monday. As the Ukrainian people and culture continues to get destroyed by Russian invaders, President Biden has added a stop in Poland to his trip this week in Europe for more talks with NATO and European allies. Biden will first travel to Brussels, then to Poland to meet President Duda next weekend. Russia has intensified its attempts to bombard Mariupol into surrender, but Ukrainian officials defiantly rejected a Russian demand that their forces in Mariupol lay down their arms and raise white flags Monday in exchange for safe passage out of the besieged port city. USA Radio News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Authorities are investigating a Los Angeles County Sheriff's helicopter crash in the Angeles National Forest north of Azusa on Saturday. Officers and ride-along passengers were on board. All six survived.
The aircraft landed just a few feet from a 200-foot drop down to Morris Dam below. So the fact that it did not roll over, go all the way down, or that there was no fire is nothing short of a miracle.
L.A. Sheriff Alex Villanueva. Gas prices drop slightly in America.
Gas prices are on a slight decline across the country, AAA reporting. The current nationwide average for a gallon of gas is $4.26. That's down from last week's average of $4.32. However, this time last year, gas was an average of $2.88. From the USA Radio News Northeast News Bureau, I'm Chris Russell.
For more information, visit us online at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you feel out of touch when your internet connection goes down? You're not alone. So when leaving Earth to go to the, let's say, moon or to Mars, soon the internet will be available to you when you head out. Startup company Aquarian Space has a goal to deliver high-speed internet at the moon and perhaps even Mars. The organization says it has raised $650,000 in startup money and plans to launch a lunar satellite by 2024. Aquarian says it plans to include space data for looking at space debris, tracking space weather, and providing scientific information from the moon and from Mars. President Zelensky of Ukraine is a hero to his people, resisting Russian aggression, destruction, and killing. The president was on CNN last night explaining how he tells his kids about the war.
My children know for sure what is happening, and I don't know whether it's good or bad. I have not explained anything to my children. First 2 days, we did not talk about it at all. And my family and they did not ask questions. They were thinking about it themselves, of what is happening. They simply believe that the good shall prevail. It may seem banal, but this is it. And in order to prevail, the good people have to sacrifice themselves.
My name is Lance Pry, and we are USA Radio News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. That's 855-525-7448.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
And thank you for joining in, because that's what it is. We need a winning team here, and we've got to get everybody lined up to play their role, their critical role in getting this country back on track. So thank you for joining in 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Hey, Joe Jackson is back with us. His book, Championship Sunday, An Uncommon Pursuit of a Dream. Wow, what a great story. And he's here to tell us all about it, especially in light of all that we're dealing with right now. Joe Jackson, how you doing, buddy?
Bill, good to talk to you again. Doing great, man.
Hey, good to have you here. I mean, it's... I'll tell you, March Madness is upon us, part of my favorite time of the year. I haven't been able to catch as much as I'd like to, but, you love the way these kids, pursue the game and pursue life. I mean, they leave it all on the courts, don't they?
Well, my team, New Mexico State, they just lost to Arkansas 53-48 a couple nights ago, but they won the first round, and then, they ran into a tough Arkansas team, but they played well. And, of course, I'm from the Big Ten, Ohio State, all the Big Ten teams lost to
right.
Purdue.
Right.
So, who knows, man?
Yeah. Well, that's the deal. You love those buzzer beater moments, and invariably they happen every March Madness season. So good fun.
There's always a surprise. This team called St. Peter. I don't even know anything about them, but they're a giant slayer. I mean, these guys are just surprising everybody, busting everybody's bracket up.
Yeah, well, after the first round, it was like, well, that takes care of my bracket. Everything is just, forget it. It's done. But you love to see things like that, because, some of these schools that are, people don't hear about. But, the thing is that you watch is, and kind of like we were making reference to when we first started this segment, is that we have to come together and figure out what is our role to play in these times that we're in right now. Everybody has a role to play. And you see it being demonstrated in March Madness. And these teams who come together in true, in a team-like spirit, are the ones that you're seeing that are overcoming odds. It's quite interesting, but revealing at the same time.
What they do is look at a giant. And, it's kind of like David. He looked at a giant. And he looked at the Lord, too. He didn't really focus too much on the giant, because he knew what God had called him to do. And these teams, like, from a so-called mid-major, a minor conference, they look at giants like North Carolina, and they say, okay, well, why not us? We can do it. We'll come together, and we'll do the best job we can, and I believe that we can be successful. So you just never know in terms of what you can do in any given moment. And it's exciting time right now in terms of the March Madness.
Right. Well, and like you say, especially when, hey, you got one shot at it. You're on the court. And if it all comes together, God bless you. It's exciting. It makes for, you know, great drama because it's not like you're playing two out of three here, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, you win or go home.
That's exactly it. Well, you know, and there's I think, some parallels here, Joe, that we can appreciate in terms of our life here on Earth. I mean, you know, are we going to be victorious in Christ? I mean, this is the mandate that God has given us. Are we going to be obedient to that, or are we going to do it on our own? And what we're seeing clearly is if you do it man's way, you end up going to war, you know? And if you do it God's way, a little bit more better, huh? What do you think?
Well, you know, I believe God fights our battles. I believe it's not mm-hmm. our fight, and I believe that God will fight every battle, and he goes before us. And I've learned that, yes, I have responsibility, but at the same time, I believe it's not my fight. I believe I just trust the Lord. I yield to him. I focus my faith in a God who loves me and a God who has an incredible plan for my life, who has gone before me and knows the beginning from the end. Now, there's, again, responsibility for me, but I'm going to trust the Lord to fight and to win my battles because he knows what's best for me. And I've trusted him as my Savior and Lord, and, you know, he's come through every single time. And so it's not a scapegoat in terms of just trying to pass the buck, but in a sense, it's just trusting him mm-hmm. to lead and to guide and to give us the real victory.
And along that lines, Joe, God showed me a long time ago, and I drew reference to it just a moment ago, whether you're playing on a team, whatever it is we have a role to play. God is Jehovah Makedesh, the one who sets aside and sanctifies. What did he sanctify you for at this moment in time? Because, as you said, he knows the end from the beginning. So we're here at this moment in time on the brink of World War III. And what is our responsibility in co-laboring with God as we head to the final chapter of Revelations?
Well, I think it's my responsibility, as Jesus did, to lift up a light in a dark world and to lift up the truth and to mandate the truth and to live the truth and to present the truth in terms of the Word of God, the uncompromised Word of God. There is only one way, and it's just for Christians to stand and believe that and to walk in it and to live it and to teach it and preach it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't look at a World War III or what's happening. I'm just going to trust the Lord and continue to be a soldier in the army that he's called me to serve in. But it's not an army on a physical sense in terms of, you know, lifting up weapons. It's just the weapons that we fight with, as you know what the Bible says, are capable of bringing down strongholds. And it's a different mentality in terms of our vision, in terms of, our goals and our direction. I'm receiving direction from the Lord and trusting him and trying to do it God's way.
Exactly.
And not so much on the world level, but in the little battles that I fight every day, you know, being a father, you know, being a good husband.
Exactly. And we're seeing our prayers working. I mean, look what's happening here. You got the strong military force and they're bogged down. They're not, you know, I mean, they're doing a lot of damage, no doubt. But, you know, and as we continue to pray, understand that, you know, God is out there and he is fighting the cause for people of faith. You know, early on in your book, you talked, Joe, about having an issue of self-esteem. As big as you were, how could you have self-esteem issues?
Well, you know, when you're 6 feet tall and like the fourth or fifth grade, you know, it's not like it is now. Now I'm 6'5", 275, and that's a cool thing.
Right.
But when you want to fit in and you want to be like everybody else and you judge yourself by your peers and you glean actually from what your peers say, what they like
exactly.
or rather what they say about you.
Joe, we got to go to break. More from Joe Jackson after this. Stay with us.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Do you love driving, but you hate your expensive car payment? Open Road Lending can reduce your current car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. Yes, it's easy to refinance your current car payment and save up to $100 a month. Could you use an extra $100 a month? Then make this call to Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your current car payment. It's easy, only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. You can do it all from the comfort of your home. Call today and see how much you can save.
800-511-6223. 800-511-6223. That's 800-511-6223. Call now. 800-511-6223.
Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details.
Good fun with Joe Jackson and his book Championship Sunday, An Uncommon Pursuit of a Dream. And he said as a defensive end, he never scored a touchdown. I said, well, you would think that maybe once, you know, somebody intercepted the ball just out of the goodness of their heart, their grace and mercy. He said, hey, Joe, here's the ball. You know, go run. It's wide open, you know. I said, you know, maybe you could, you know, run the last 10 yards. He goes, no, look at it, man. If you're going to go touchdown, you want 90. You know, you want the fans screaming, yelling, you know, cheering you all the way. You know, here he is. He, you know, know, he's at the 40s, the 45, 50, he's 45, he's 40, 35, you know, everybody's screaming, yelling, popcorn, beer flying all over the place, and Joe Jackson is in the end zone. Did you ever practice an end zone dance just in case?
Absolutely not. No. I never really did that. Yeah, back when I'm playing, we just basically spiked the ball. There was a couple guys that did that, but, you know, no, there wasn't a whole lot of that show off. Look at me. You know, this is the first time I've ever done this. No, it was us. Act like you've done it before. This is your job. It, you know, it was team, not me. So it's changed a lot. And, you know, but I guess that's the way the game's going.
Yeah, without a doubt. At the end of the first segment, we were talking about self-esteem issues. And I'm going, as big as you are, how can you have self-esteem issues? Well, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you're a humanoid, and you're dealing with, like you said, you just want to be, you know, what people would call as normal, and being 6 foot in fifth grade, you kind of stand out, like it or not, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. You know, I had struggles with the way I look, you know, my size, basically. I thought I was a decent looking guy, but you really judge your value, not so much by your parents and adults, but it's by your peers. I gleaned in what they thought about me. If they thought that I was cool, I was okay, that type of thing, that made me feel good. But I struggled with the sense of feeling good because I thought I was always an oddball. I was 6 feet, you know, tall. I was 106 pounds in the third grade, 176 in the sixth grade, and I just stuck out. I was different. I thought I was not only different, I just thought I was weird, and I struggled with, you know, self-acceptance, liking myself, didn't think that I had a lot of value except as an athlete. And that's one reason why I just excelled, I think, in sports, because that sort of gave me value.
Yeah.
You know, that brought attention to me in a positive sense, I think.
Is that when it turned a corner for you as you started participating in athletics and having some success? It's like you found your thing, right?
Well, you know, Bill, that was an opening. What really turned turned me around, obviously, was when I was 18 years old and I was walking home from football practice, and Ken Johnson, this kid, he told me that God loved me, shared the four spiritual laws, and got me on a right track, you know, tracking the fact that God had a purpose for me, that he loved me, that I had value, that I had a purpose in life, that I was indeed destined, and not so much for greatness, but for God's greatness, and, you know, to be great in him. So, you know, the sports started tracking me in the right direction, but that led to a real purpose-led life, in knowing that Christ was my Savior, and that he died for me, and that he loved me.
Now, that was happening. Was that coincidental with you getting in trouble when you were 18 as well, after your 18th birthday?
You know, the trouble days were pretty much behind me. The trouble days were basically Cincinnati. When I went to college in New Mexico, I just started just tracking a different road, a different path. And I didn't know it was God working on me. When I graduated from high school as an 18-year-old, or 17, the pastor of the church, he presented the students who went to his church, who graduated, a Bible. So I started reading the Bible. For some unknown reason to me, I never read a Bible before, but he gave me the Bible. It had my name on it. I said, well, I'll read it. And so I just started reading it. And slowly but steadily and surely, that was God planting a seed and giving light, giving growth, and it was his leading, his hand, and I'm so grateful that I stuck with it. You know, just because you read a Bible, just because you start, is great, but the Christian life is about finishing strong.
You know, exactly.
Journey, by the way.
And it is our daily bread, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's one thing I learned in college. You know, I had this mentality. I eat three times a day. So in the morning, I'd read five chapters. For lunch, I'd read five chapters. And for dinner, I'd read five chapters of the Old and New Testament. So you're right. It is our daily bread. I guarantee you that.
You know, Joe, in your book, Championship Sunday, you write that in the 50s, black families were predominantly conservative. What the heck happened?
not only black families were conservative. I think as America, we were conservative, and black families were a part of that structure. But things have changed, and black families have changed, and you know, here we are. I'm mm-hmm. conservative, you know, but I think there's other issues besides mm-hmm. the issues that are prevalent, issues like race that need to be, that need to be talked about, you know, that others don't talk about more so than abortion and homosexuality. You know, I think for me as a black man, race is just as important as that. And because
what are we not talking about, Joe? Help me understand that. What are we not talking about?
I'm talking about on a political platform. It just seems like the issues, when you say conservative, you think about conservative issues, like abortion, politically speaking, you know, like a party platform, abortion, homosexuality. On the other side, you know, there's some other issues. Rather, these same issues are looked at differently. Let's just say that. So, for me, as a black American, my issues are not only those. Those are, rather, there are black racism and bigotry, things like that, things that I experienced in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and even today.
Are you experiencing the same thing at the same level today as opposed to what you experienced in the 60s and 70s?
Obviously not. No. No, but racism is...
The reason I'm asking is that, you know, I want to believe, I mean, as a Hispanic, I want to believe that, you know, not that we're perfect, we're human, we're flawed, but I want to believe that we're, you know, a little bit more compassionate than we were, and that there are several narratives out there, and in pursuit of the truth, you know, like you, I want healing to take place. And if I feel, or if I see a brother who is being abused because of the color of their skin, I got issues with that. I cannot just sit back and let that happen. And I'm trying to understand in some cases, and this is, I think, where, you know, maybe Black Lives Matter, that whole movement, kind of got in the way of really helping us understand the truth. Because when I look and see how many mixed racial marriages we have today, you know, how many millionaires that we have, people of color, you know, more educated, home ownership, all this thing, you know, I go, okay, for a nation that is supposedly... And I just say supposedly, I'm, you know, again, trying to understand this, that we're so systemically biased. I mean, we're not doing a very good job with our system, because then, you know, it would be all blacks and Hispanics would be under the thumb. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
I'm only just trying to understand this. And Joe, you and I, boy, you and I could spend hours on, you know, getting this through, because I, like you, I want to get on this other side of this to live in a world that God had created for us, that Jesus went to the cross for, saying, hey, it's finished, you know, and all this human insanity that keeps getting in the way, maybe we'll have to deal with it until Jesus comes again and we really enter into the final one world government that he's planned for us. We'll have to wait and see. And we'll see you there, Joe Jackson, okay? Don't disappoint me.
Okay, right, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something. something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-709-9174. 800-709-9174. 800-709-9174. That's 800-709-9174.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As President Biden's Supreme Court justice pick will start confirmation hearings this morning, Justice Thomas is spending a few days in a D.C. hospital for flu-like symptoms not related to COVID-19. China's Civil Aviation Administration is reporting a Chinese-owned Boeing 737 jetliner carrying roughly 130 people crashed in the mountains in southern China's Guangxi region on Monday. As the Ukrainian people and culture continues to get destroyed by Russian invaders, President Biden has added a stop in Poland to his trip this week in Europe for more talks with NATO and European allies. Biden will first travel to Brussels, then to Poland to meet President Duda next weekend. Russia has intensified its attempts to bombard Mariupol into surrender, but Ukrainian officials defiantly rejected a Russian demand that their forces in Mariupol lay down their arms and raise white flags Monday in exchange for safe passage out of the besieged port city. USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hey, welcome back. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, and Robert Brownlee is back with us. We kept passing each other in the hallways in Tennessee last week at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and I kept thinking I was going to have a minute to get up, but everybody was around him. I mean, he was in well demand to hear his story from mafia to ministry. Hey, Robert, at least we're talking directly on the radio again, so I appreciate the opportunity to be able to get together one more time.
Well, I appreciate you allowing me to come on your show one more time. So it's, once again, you know, it's always an honor and privilege to share the story about Jesus.
Amen. Well, you know, here you are, Robert. I mean, as you and I talked before, as a young man, as a teenager, you know, growing up, and you get pulled into a life of crime. And you're, you know, you're rocking and rolling. You're doing well, and you're thinking, hey, this is all good and nice until it stops being good and nice, right?
Well, I guess that was my mindset at that time, but I look at it today and I said, I don't think anything was really good and nice. Yeah, but that was my mindset at that point in time. Things seemed to be going the way I wanted them to go. You know, I was getting a good reputation, that everybody in the mob loved me, and really stepping up the ladder until drugs came into the life.
Mm-hmm. Well, the mafia had a career plan for you. And little did they know, and little did you know, that God had a better career plan for you, right?
Amen to that. Amen. Double amen. Yes.
So tell us a little bit, just to remind our audience, what it was like for you working, you know, with the mafia.
Okay, the best picture I could give in a short amount of time would be two movies that I could bring out to you. One was Goodfellas, that was done in the 90s. And they show you the real guy in that movie, not the actor himself, but the is Henry Hill, and how he grew up. into that lifestyle as a young kid, doing errands for them, selling what we call swag, either stolen cigarettes or stolen merchandise, and getting a name and reputation in that life. That would be one of the moves. The other one would be Bronx Tale. That was done, I think, a lot earlier than that there, and basically how one of the guys in the neighborhood took a liking to this young kid and started bringing him around. So that would be most of my story. It was a tough neighborhood. I was a little bit of a tough guy. Some people believe I had little man syndrome, is what they used to say, because I was small and didn't want to get picked on, so I had to act out, and the guys in the neighborhood kind of liked that. And these guys, I didn't know at that point in time who they were, but I knew that they had a lot of respect in the neighborhood, and they kind of ran the neighborhood, and then later on, hanging around with them and getting a little bit older, I understood. And they say it's the mafia, but in New York, you know, it's considered, in the United States, considered Costa Nostra, which means our thing in Italian. So, but anyway, and that's the life I just grew up in. I really gravitated to it and did whatever you've seen in those movies, the things that I did participate in. And some of those movies, you know, that were done was, you know, real people that I knew in my life.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Robert, you know, we talk about the Cosa Nostra, the mafia, as some would put it, and I have determined in watching other communities, they have their own form of the Cosa Nostra or the mafia, maybe in a different language, a different interest. That seems to be the case. It's just the nature of man trying to survive and find a way, because in some cases the local community and the governance of that local community does not seem to be operating fair. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I could see that today, but not back in those days. I mean, you know, and back in them days, we had cops that walked the beat. You know, they were on their feet walking and watching things going on in the neighborhood. But then there was things that were maybe being done when they weren't around, and these guys took care of it. You know, that's just how it was. But, you know, the difference between, and if I was to explain, the difference between the mafia or La Cosa Nostra and other organizations is the mafia or Cosa Nostra, whichever phrase they want to use, had their hands in a lot of things. So it's not like, you know, in the beginning, it was basically from when I grew up, and I didn't see it in its full context at that point in time, it was basically gambling. You know, they were sports betting and horse race track betting that you could do, and, you know, things of that, and card games and stuff like that. And that's what I've seen. I didn't see all the other stuff at that when I was a young kid. And what they did was they made other people have a chance to earn some money to make ends meet. Like, my mom would give me maybe $1.20, with a number on it, and I would bring it into a grocery store, and he would take it from me. So it gave my mom a chance to maybe gamble a little bit and maybe hit a number, but also gave the guy in the store a couple extra dollars that he would hand it in and get a commission for whatever he was doing. It was kind of like that. Now, I hope I'm explaining it as best as possible.
Well, it's interesting because people are going, well, that sounds like the lotto to me for today, right? What's the difference?
Well, that's the point I was trying to make, because what they did was they seen how they could destroy the mob at that time was make things legal. You had off-track betting now. You know, you have sports books you could bet in, and we have the lottery, and we have numbers and all that. But you see, you couldn't hurt them just with that, because they had their hands in just about everything. The truck issue, you know, nothing comes through without a truck. You know, fly in by plane, but a truck has to pick it up in the ship. So they had their hands in a lot of things. So it was really hard to destroy them financially, because they had their hands in many, many things.
Well, we have a supply chain crisis going on. Let me ask you, considering that they control trucking, what are they doing about that? Do you have any insight on that right now?
Well, no. You know, I haven't been involved with that lifestyle in the last...
I know that, but I'm just, you know, you bring up something, it just triggered a question, a thought going, interesting. Yeah, that's right. They did control trucking, and you wonder in today's environment how that is playing itself out, especially when we know that
you know, there are certain political forces want to support unions and, you know, this sort of thing. And it's like, well, wait a minute, we've got problems here. How come they're not helping, you know, the rest of America with some of these crises going on, especially when it goes, you know, we're talking about supply. But that aside, you know, for you, like you said, in your life, you are, you know, you become an ally. You're a good soldier, and you're working your way up on a career path with the mafia, and then you get involved in drugs. Even though you said at the time mafia wasn't, at least in your organization, your exposure, they weren't that heavily involved with drugs, were they?
No, they really weren't. But for the people that I was around, that was a taboo kind of thing. But they gave me no client family, from what I understood. And then later on, they allowed it in because other families were doing it, making a lot of money. You know, when you have a lot of money, you have more power and you have more control over people when you're feeding them, so to speak. So I think that's when it came in play. For me, it was in the mid-70s when I got involved with it, you know. And then in the 80s is when I kind of started selling it a little bit. And then before you know, being social for a period of time. And then in the 90s was my demise when I just fell to the drugs itself. And instead of me selling the drugs were kind of like selling me in a sense. So everything, I started losing everything, and my respect in the neighborhood and all that went down the tubes.
Well, and that's tough, too, because, I mean, you're not going to jail when you're, you know, 16 or 17. You're a 40-year-old man. What, 42 years old, right, when this happens?
Well, when that happens, yeah. But I've been out in prisons a lot of my life. Now, you got to remember, back in the days, I was locked up 14, 15, probably 16 years old. But in them days, they couldn't handcuff you when you were a kid, you know? Mm. So they would bring you to the precinct, and then your mom and dad would come and get you and bring you back home. Then you would have what they called at that point in time family court, and I would have to go to family court. But growing up, you know, 20 years old, I was arrested for 2 murders and possession of a weapon. Now, I'm not proud of what I've done and the things that I was involved in, and I'm not saying it for that reason. I'm saying it through this way that people could get a kind of a picture of at 20 years old, I laid up in prison in Rikers Queens County.
Unbelievable.
For that reason.
Got to go to break. Got more from Robert after this. Stay with us.
You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Thank you.
stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
Well, we're talking with the author of The Witness. It's a tale of life and death of a mafia madman. Robert Borelli is with us. He shared that, you know, for him, it was, you know, he was a little gangster. And he kept doing more and more gangster things in and out of jail. And then he's, you know, that's just been his lifestyle and what he knew and how to survive. And he was on a career path that was set for him by the mafia. Little did he know that God had a career path yet for him to see and understand. But at the age of 42, when you think that maybe, you know, okay, you kind of grow up and you get this stuff behind you and you start deciding, well, you know, maybe I need to be a little bit more responsible. I have a family now. But you get, you really get knocked to your knees by God because you're in prison at 42 and your 3-year-old daughter asks in tears why you didn't visit her. And, you know, and it's like that crushed you in such a way that you were left to turn to God and say, help me, right?
And how I look at things today is, you know, back in them days, I didn't want to change my lifestyle. I just wanted the consequences of my lifestyle to change.
Good point.
When I look back at it today, I see that God was using my consequences to change me.
Yeah,
you know,
wow.
and that's what ended up happening. Sometimes God puts a. I believe God was trying to get my attention for the longest time, and I just wasn't hearing Him or listening to Him.
But I like how you put that, and that really is the human condition. It's not that we want our life. We just want the consequences to change, right? You know, we just fool ourselves into thinking that if only the consequences, you know, I'm sorry, not because of what I'm just sorry I got caught, right? It's all part of that same vein, right?
Yeah, you go to a lot of judges, they heard me say that's for sure. And that's why for me, I knew that God was saying, I want you to surrender. I don't want a commitment. I heard too many of your commitments already that you gave to so many other people, including my little girl.
Yes.
Wanted a total surrender from me. And God brought me to my knees and used my little girl to do that.
So what happened from that point on? How did your life change, and how did you end up now here in this ministry, and you're pastoring people?
Well, you know, for a while my daughter's mom was not allowed to, wasn't allowing me to see my daughter when I was out on the street, and the sad part of it is I was okay with that, but as long as I was getting high, I really didn't want to go see my daughter. So when I did, when my daughter's mom allowed me to call her while I was in Rikers Island and speak to her over the phone, and the one time that she was crying, I said, Brianna, why are you crying? And she said, because she won't come and see me. Now, I know I'm facing a lot of time in prison, and when she said that, you know, with the guilt, the shame that was in me. Now, I couldn't medicate myself, but that's what I usually do when I'm feeling pain. I go and get high or drink or something right. like that to heal me a little bit. So I think anyway. But what happened that part, that crushed my heart. My heart just shattered in peace because there were so many times I was in the neighborhood and I could have made an attempt to see my daughter. Whether her mom would have let me or not wasn't the point. The point was I didn't even try to. I'd rather get high than see my own daughter. And that's the cry that touched my heart. And I was raised Roman Catholic. Again, it's nothing against Roman Catholics, but for this Roman Catholic, I knew about God, but I didn't know God, and there's a big difference
right.
for me. So I ran back to my cell, and I gave God that ultimatum with tears streaming down my face. I didn't want the inmates to see me crying. I ran back to my cell, and I said, God, either have somebody, if you're real, either have somebody kill me or change me. I cannot live with this pain anymore, and I don't want to live with this pain anymore. God, please help me. God, please help me. And I believe God answered the sincerity of my heart that I wanted to really change, not just the consequences of my actions, but my actions itself.
What convinced you that God was for you, Robert, after that?
Well, before that call with my daughter, I was calling up people trying to get money to get me out of the mess I got into, as far as getting a good attorney and getting commissary money so I could live as comfortable as possible in my circumstances in Rikers Island. And this one girl said, go read the Bible. And I knew it was a brush up because I know she used to get high with me. She wasn't saved, as far as I know, at that point in time. And anyway, I remember those words, and I just started reading God's word. And everything started just changing for me.
So when... Okay, so you start down this new road. You're reading the Bible. So what happens? I mean, you're still in Rikers. So now your perception has changed dramatically. Now you're living with the consequences with a sense of peace that, you know, probably the other inmates are going, hey, what happened to Borelli? What's going on, right?
Well, yeah, there was I like to say that there was a wand waved over my head and everything changed when it did. And, you know, the government came involved with me, too, and they gave me an offer that I would wish I could say I couldn't refuse, but an offer that I didn't refuse. And they said, you know, I felt completely hopeless, like there was no hope for me. I was Robert the Crackhead. I'm probably going to die Robert the Crackhead. And then giving my life to Christ at that point. Didn't understand the whole concept of being born again. But then the government came in, and what they did was they said, if you cooperate with us, we'll help you have a new life. We'll recommend you for the witness protection program when you come out of prison. And I took that offer.
Mm-hmm. And since you've been on that, I mean, here you are now. You're public, and you're making your story well known. Has there been anybody reaching out and trying to mess up your life now that you've exposed a little bit of the inner workings of the family?
Well, not personally right now. I'm sure there was maybe some things being said back then to my family members who lived in that neighborhood, you know, being shunned or maybe, you know, shamed in a sense. But not really. But, you know, I went into the wilderness veteran. The thing I like to share is that God gave me what it really means to be born again, because what the government did was they wiped my record clean. I have no record of my past. They gave me a new name, no social security, new birth certificate. I became a new person as Robert Borelli. The old person was Robert Engel. Now I'm Robert Borelli. And what the government did in the natural, God already did in the spiritual. He wiped my slate clean. I have a new identity in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things are new. So, but I haven't heard anything from anybody. I believe everybody in the neighborhood. That's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, The Witness, is to let them know that I was a witness for a government, but now I'm a witness for Jesus Christ. And I believe a lot of them know that, and some of them are respecting that.
Yeah, exactly. So here, I mean, even while you're at Rikers, you're still addicted, right? You're still dealing with drug addiction issues, right?
Well, I'm dealing with a lot. I'm not acting on them, but yeah. And I'm going to be honest with you. The more you resist the devil, the more he flees from you. Let me just put it that way. Because in the beginning, even being relocated to San Antonio, Texas, there's just certain things that trigger some of my old lifestyle and some of my, you know, the mob kind of lifestyle, and some things triggered my addiction, you know, passing by certain places and stuff like that, that would trigger that. But, you know, I had to stand on the promises of God, and that's just basically what I did, you know. It said, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, you know, so I focused on just seeking God and all his righteousness. You know, my biggest concern was, how do I make a living once, because the government don't keep feeding you forever. It's just a period of time, and my concern was, what do I do once they stop helping me? Then I'm on my own, and that was the promise I stood on. Actually, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So those are the things that I just do, and how I live by. But it's just a miracle that God wiped, you know. The Bible says, I think it's in Psalm 37:4, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart.
Desires of your heart, right.
You know, and so my life is dedicated to delighting myself in him and allowing him to give me his desires and live those out. That's just my life today. You know, Galatians 2:20 is my favorite thing. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, that's my life, man. That's how I live today.
About a minute left here, Robert. So when you get on witness protection, you're in San Antonio at the Riverwalk, you know, enjoying San Antonio, Texas. How do you end up in the ministry?
Well, I just, you know, because they threw me out of the witness protection program because I married somebody from New York. I wasn't supposed to. I violated my agreement with them through that. And my wife said, now you can start sharing your story. You don't have to hide it no more. Because when you're in the witness protection program, you can't tell anybody that you're in it. So that opened up the door for me to do it. I did nursing home ministry for 13 years. And then God, I felt calling me to speak out and just share my testimony wherever I can. And of course, you know, COVID interrupted the last 3 years. Interrupted a lot of my speaking engagements because but now that it's kind of dormant now, I'm hoping that that will open up some more doors for me.
Well, hopefully this interview will help ignite what God has purposed from the very beginning for you, Robert Borelli. I cannot thank you enough. God bless you. Godspeed to you. He is the author of The Witness, a tale of the life and death of a mafia madman, Robert Borelli, right here on The Bill Martinez Show. Take care, Robert. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase.